Did you see the moon last night? You did. Did you see it? That's a rare occasion. I thought about you last night, and I almost called you. I know Renee is into the stars like me, and you know what? I'm telling you, God has blessed me that when I come out my front door, like the sun goes over my house, right? So my house is always warm. Like if I wait, I don't have to shovel. It's amazing. It is amazing. But the moon is right outside my front door. Stars are unbelievable. The Big Dipper is like right there. It's unbelievable. And last night was a crescent moon with a star right on. It was cloudy. You couldn't see nothing else but that. It was so amazing. I called my old coworker, Rob, because he's into that and he's a photographer. I said, Rob, you got to get outside. And I meant to call you, and I was like, it's getting later and later. I said, nah, I ain't gonna mess with it like that. But I figured you would see it. That same thing, listen, that same thing. Now, you might see it in your lifetime. That same thing, when it went the other way, the crescent with the star under it. Yeah, it was upside down, right? Listen. It happens the other way, right? The Russian flag. Every 30 years. Now, I saw it the last time. I might not see it the next time, but I think you will. That happens every 30 years. God is amazing. And okay, I guess I'm bringing that up for one because I saw you and, you know, I didn't see you early. I'm sorry. But another thing, I just wanted to exploit that. God is awesome. Like, okay, for the average, okay. But for me, and this is what you got to do. For me, I took that as a sign. I was like, you know, because I was rushing to do something. I got, these are my old glasses, so I'm just going to suffer. But I did type in the big font, so maybe. So I cracked my glasses up. Look, they called me Friday afternoon. So Saturday, I'm rushing down there. Rush down there, guess what? They closed. Then I had some other running around to do. But as I turned the corner, I saw it. I was like, wow. And that was just, to me, God saying, I got you. It's going to be all right. You're going to have, look, you don't come to church every Sunday to hear the pastor say, it's all right. Or hear the pastor say, today you're going to live. Or to hear the pastor say, joy comes in the morning. So somehow, some way, you got to tune in to God. He's still here, right? Matter of fact, he's living within you. He set you up to where his spirit can be inside of you to get in tune with things he's trying to tell you, either from the word or just nature itself. Amen. That was extra. I didn't intend on that. So that may take me to 39 minutes now. Anyway, John 21:18, I'm going to start. Now, pastor has read this. I just want a piece of it, but I think I got to read from 18 just to get you an understanding. Understanding of what's going on here. This is Jesus talking to Peter once he returned, right? Okay. Verily, verily, or verily, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. All right. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him.
This was the one who had led him, who had leaned back against Jesus at the upper room, at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter, check out what Peter says here. This in 22 is what I want. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Did y'all catch that? Peter said to Jesus, "What about him?" He's talking about John. Jesus answered him, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Amen. Y'all could be seated. So for a topic, y'all might not dig it. I'm telling you, Jesus himself is saying it. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. How you do that? Your job is to follow Jesus. You got called not to preach, not to sing, not to evangelize. You got called to follow Jesus. I knew I was going to get that kind of reception. I'm sorry. Follow Jesus. I'm going to run because y'all may catch it later, but I'm going to run. All right? Hallelujah. I should open my Bible, but I wrote everything down this time. My wife wouldn't be proud of me. I typed it all out. Don't even have a printer at home. Went to the library. Typed it out. Didn't know what I was doing. My daughters weren't even there to help me. Anyway. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. All right. So Jesus tells Peter. Now look, I'm not even worried about the beginning part, right? That's irrelevant. Sometimes we get caught up on the who, what, and why, and where. But the mission is to follow Jesus. And to do that, you're going to have to figure out how to stay in your lane. Because you got junk over here. He pissed you off over here. You got disappointed over here. But you can't turn to the right. You can't turn to the left. You got to focus. Stay in your lane. We get hype over every other thing. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm just going to read, okay? Look, verse 23 in there, it says, "Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple, John, would not die." But Jesus did not say that. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Mind your business. Stay in your lane." I'm making it raw because it is. That's what I love about Jesus. He's man and God. But he's man with an attitude sometimes. Stay in your lane. This was a prediction of Peter's death. And we know that prediction was that he would be crucified. And he would be crucified upside down because he felt he wasn't worthy. That's the death part. But like I said, I'm pushing that over there. We may be uncertain and fearful about the future, our future. But if we know God is in control, we can be confident to follow him. Right? We can confidently follow him. Hallelujah. We tend to compare ourselves to others, to either rationalize our own levels of devotion or or we question God's justice. Why him? Why her? What's she doing that I'm not? What he doing? Why am I so frustrated about this and that, right? God, if you say you're God, why didn't you take this away? Why didn't you fix this like when I want it, right? I'm here to tell you, if you stay in your lane, right? God, look, Jesus responded, what is that to you? Stay in your lane. You must follow me. And I'm going to emphasize the you. You must follow Jesus. You have to. So when you're in your drama situation, what do you know about the Word, about Jesus? Jesus is the living Word, right? What do you know about the Word? That is what you keep. The other stuff, you got to roll with it. Stay in your lane. All right? It's a real simple message. That's that one piece, right? All right. Let's get another witness. Let's go Old Testament, okay? Exodus 14:12. Last Sunday, I actually made it early and was here as they did the prayer. And Sister Keisha had read this scripture. I was like, wow. And she said to me, she read 14, right? And she said, you need 13. Hey, Mom. Happy birthday, Mom. It's my mom's birthday. Oh, well, yesterday was her birthday. It is today. I'm sorry. Good. Happy birthday. I thought I missed it. I'm telling you, I've been in the twilight zone. My mom is 32 years old today. Or is it 39? 32? 39. It's 39. Let's be real, right? Let's be real. 39. I am officially older than my mom now. I knew it was going to come. Oh, such a blessing to have him here. He said he would show up. I said, okay. All right, so I'm going to Exodus 14:12 now. I'm going to start from 12. I want 14. Listen. This is Moses leading the people out of Exodus, right? Is this it? Yeah. Didn't we send, this is the people, the Israelites, God's people. So I'm just setting you up because I want you to catch this, God's people. Didn't we say to you, and I'm reading out of the new international version, okay? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Sometimes we feel like that. And I'm not calling anybody out, but sometimes you'd rather be or stay in a wrong situation with your enemy rather than go where you don't know how it's going to turn out. That's our problem. See, that's lack of faith. I hate to say it. Faith is the way, is how you walk where you don't know. Right? What is faith? The evidence, what? Nothing. So, that Egyptian, this right here, to me, just describes some of us. And then we complain about it. Right? That's why I'm trying to say I'm going right back to follow Jesus. Because you don't know, I use it as stay in your lane as like an attitude thing, because you do. You have to check your attitude. But also think about it physically in traveling. Stay in your lane. See, I'm going to interrupt right here. You ever follow somebody and they say, look, follow me. I'll get you there. And they're driving and they make some funky turn. And you drive now, okay, maybe this is just me, I'm sorry. And they made that turn, I'm going, what are they turning in for? He said, I went this way. And you go that way. Now the road gets dark. It ain't paved. And you mad. But you the one that turned off. You're the one that made your own mind up and say, this is going to be better. Stay in your lane. Follow. You must follow Jesus. I can't emphasize that enough. Stay in your lane. So now, all right, I'm sorry I interjected in the word right there. Now we in Exodus 14. No, I'm sorry. Exodus 14, 13, right? Now I'm on 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm." What'd he say? Stay in your lane. Stand firm. Look, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you when? Today. Some of us get in panic mode so much, we freak out. We jump the lane. We get off an early exit. But the whole time, Jesus is saying, follow me. Not to your priesthood, not to your singing career, but follow me. Guess what? And I'm going to get you to all of that, whatever it may be. Listen, this is where we got a problem with it. Has I or my father deems it to be. You understand? Ooh, I got some quiet people. That's why I saw the moon last night. No matter what they look like, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Oh, sorry. So, all right, I got to repeat that. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Stay in your lane. And you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Deliverance, taking you out of something. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Footnote here. If you stay in your lane, if you follow Jesus. Listen, you might come through a rough patch, but guess what? You're going through it. You're going to pass right by it. You know what? When I travel down south, 95 South, I get nervous when I get to the end of Virginia. I get nervous when I get to Georgia. I get nervous around them low southern states. But I'm headed to Florida. I'm headed to the Sunshine State. I'm headed to Disneyland. So I just keep a grip on the steering wheel, stay in my lane. Follow 95 South. So no matter what state of mind, no matter what state I pass through, I'm passing through. You understand? So the Egyptians, the enemy you see today, Alabama, Georgia, I will never see them again. I don't have to. Look, and it's just me. It's a state of mind. But I'm passing through. I'm staying in my lane. I'm following the course I'm supposed to be on, right? In that case, 95 South. So the Lord says, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to stay in your lane. Jesus is my focus. I'm following Jesus. Hallelujah. Where my timekeepers at? I forgot to set my clock. Timekeepers. Ooh, okay. All right, let me get to it. Ooh. Then the Lord said to Moses, okay, look at this. I'm just going to give you this because I thought it was interesting. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 15, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Listen, why are you crying out to me? I'm going to get there. All right, listen. Sometimes we know what to do, but we ask for more guidance as an excuse to postpone doing it. Listen, God said to Moses, why are you crying out for, look, that's the Father. So no wonder Jesus talked like he talked, right? Why are you crying out to me? You know, look, if you're following Jesus, if you're following me, Why are you worried? Why do you despair? Why are you crying out to me? And God says to Moses, tell the Israelites to move on. Stay in your lane. Follow me. Right? On that same token of following somebody, all right, you ever the lead, and you're looking in your mirror and say, where the hell are they going? They done turned off. That's God's thought right here. What are you doing? I told you what to do. You read your word. You know what to do. But yet, and I'm not blaming you, I'm just telling you, it's fear, right? It's doubt. Sometimes we drowning in doubt. Sometimes we drowning in doubt and we never tell nobody, right? Oh, man, this is going to take me long because I keep coming up with stories in my head. I remember one time I was on the edge of the pool. My parents were sitting right here. This is before I learned to swim. And I let go of the edge. And I thought I was going to drown right there. And it was right here. Somehow, I caught the edge again. But don't drown in doubt. Just look up and follow him. Somewhere in that big book, it says, I look up. Look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from above. My help comes from God, the Lord Jesus. And if I can just focus, I can help him. I mean, he can help me. Suffering, pain, even death can even be overwhelming for the experienced Christian. But in the hope to glorify God, to leave a sinful world, and to be present with his Lord, one becomes ready to obey the Redeemer's call to follow him through death to glory. If we attend to our duties, let me say this first. Jesus wanted his disciples to pay attention to their duty. Did you hear me? And not necessarily be worried about the future event for others or themselves. So think about it. All that the disciples did after Jesus was irrelevant now and was still going to be, but their purpose right now was just to follow Jesus, right? Following Jesus means you have to have, you got to be like-minded. All right, look, if we attend to the duty of following Jesus, we will not find the heart or the time to be caught up in the drama. Right? Everybody know what Teflon is? You know that old saying, I'm Teflon? Right? Teflon. Stay in your lane. Follow Jesus. You have work to do. All right. You have work to do. Turn to Philippians. Turn to Philippians. I'm going to speed it up, okay? Because I'm running out of time. I did clock myself. I was 39 minutes. But, oh, here's the timekeeper. All right, so I'm going to get right to it. So, now, we've heard this before, too. Philippians 2, right? I want 2:12, but if you look at the other parts, this is going to help you here. Okay, and being found, this is 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, this is Jesus. Being found in appearance as a man, he looked like a man. He humbled himself. Why? Because he was not a man. Everybody understand that, right? This is God in the flesh, right? Becoming obedient to death, even on the cross. Right? I don't want to scare you, but that's how we have to be. Following Jesus, we got to be obedient, even unto death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. That name of Jesus, at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Did y'all hear that? And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That gives him authority. That means that it's okay. We can be confident to follow Jesus. All right? Some of us think we can't follow him, and I'm not speaking about anybody in this room, because we say, well, he was just a prophet. He was just a man. But if we can understand that he was God and man, that he was God in the flesh, that gives him a certain authority that makes us able. Look, if my wife was here, I would get her. But I'm sure it's other women, maybe even some men in here that do this. Okay? Just going to take my time. Okay? Who's the manager? No, no, I don't want to speak to you. I want the manager. Who's in charge here? Now, I don't want to talk to you. Where's that? Where, I saw him. He got the one with the tie on and the name tag. Where is he? Woo! Don't tell my wife I said that. Woo! Philippians 2:12. Therefore, after all of that, you understand the authority, the power, right? Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always been, have always obeyed, not only in my presence, this is Paul talking to the Philippian church, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Did y'all hear that? That means you got to work. Work out your salvation. Stay in your lane. Follow Jesus. We too must be careful about what we believe and how we live. Y'all hear that? We must focus our attention and devotion on Christ so that we won't be sidetracked. Amen? Y'all hear that? So what do we do when we don't feel like obeying? What do you do? God has not left us alone in the struggle to do his will. He wants to come alongside you. Paracletus, y'all know what that is, right? The Holy Ghost. Help to teach you, right? Walk alongside you. God helps us to want to obey him. And then gives us the power to do what he wants. So if you're having trouble staying in your lane, ask God about it. If you're having trouble following Jesus, ask God about it. Did y'all know that you could ask for that? Next time, listen, next time, ask God to help you want to do his will. We got to show love, but I ain't feeling her. I ain't feeling him. I got to do what? Oh, God. Sometimes, and that's why, listen, this footnote here, that's why we hooked up the way we are. Has your wife, no, it probably will be you telling her. Now, you know, you should just go ahead. You, I don't feel like it. Yeah, yeah, right? I knew I had one honest person in here. That's why I asked you. Help! Look, we can't do this thing without the Holy Spirit. I just told you he's the Paracletus. He works inside of you. His spirit is in you. Listen, look, okay, listen to what Paul said in Philippians 1:19. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the spirit, that spirit that's living in within me, of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, what I go through, what I went through, will turn out for my deliverance. Only if you stay in your lane. Only if you follow Jesus. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, this is Paul talking, Pastor Paul talking, or seen in me, put it into practice. Did you hear that? Put it into practice. We study love out of the word. Put it in. Humility, put it in. Unity, put it in. Right? And sometimes when we think about that stuff, when we think about giving it to other people, we think, huh? I just say, huh? Y'all know the rest. You put whatever you want after that. Right? But it says, if we can do that, listen, it says, put it into practice, and God of peace will be with you. That's your help. Sometimes there are signs. And the pastor gave me this direction. I didn't want to add it, but when I went there, it was like a side study. It just fit. So I said, all right. Now, one day I'm going to come back and do the rest. But let's talk about a sign real quick. Because God has done some things a long time ago for you, us, right now. Right? It's amazing. It's amazing. So, sign, go to Genesis, all right? Genesis, and now I'm almost done. I'm going to speed it up. I'm going to read this right here, this scripture. Genesis 9. Let's go to that first. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you. You and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the animals, all those who came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish, that just show you the vastness, all right? Now I'm saying covenant, but it's also, you can say contract, all right? I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said this. God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you. And every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. That includes you and me. This is the contract God made with Moses that would include us, to tell you what he did with Noah in the ark he would never do again. Right? I'm trying to build your faith up in understanding that God is awesome. And that if you stay in your lane, follow Jesus, you're going to be all right. I should have added that to the mix, right? Oh, I should be all right. Okay, all right, so let me go down. I have, okay, verse 9:13. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Anybody ever see a rainbow? Amen. Enough said. I will remember my covenant. Y'all hear that? Woo! Life is one big road with lots of signs. So when you riding through the rough, don't you complicate your mind. That's Bob Marley. So God has set a covenant. He left a sign. All right, so we stand in our lane, we driving down the road, we're going through those ill state of minds or those ill states, but we keep moving, we're passing through, everything's going to be all right. And sometimes, you on 95 South, you just driving. Now, you know you on 95 South because you didn't turn, but it's just road and trucks. You're like, you're just starting to think, am I still on the right road? Am I still on 95 South? And then guess what? Boom! A sign. Florida. 200 miles. 95 South. Yes! So look for those signs. Pay attention to what God has already set up. Stay in your lane. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying we got a lot of help. I'm saying God already worked it out because he know you. He know me. Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Genesis 17:7. I'm just skipping down. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you. Sound familiar? For the generations to come. And then the other one, he said, everlasting covenant. Somebody didn't read that. For generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So no need to question. He is our God. Right? He set it up with Abraham a long time ago, of which we all come from his seed. Amen? That's how I started talking about I'll make your seed fast. You know, as wide as the sands. All right, I'm going to skip down to Genesis 17. And this is what the sign is for them, so just so you know. Just so you understand what the circumcision is. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. Stay in your lane. Life is one big rule with lots of signs. Hey, come on. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Let's try to wrap it up. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to give you 15:50 on down. I want 58. But sometimes I got to give you enough backing here, okay? I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Y'all heard this, right? Everybody know what this is. Nor does perishable, your Bible is probably going to say corruptible, right? NIV says perishable. Nor does perishable inherit imperishable, the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. I'm going to tell you a story, a mystery. We will not all sleep. But we all will be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. Y'all heard this, I know. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So that's Florida. We know where we're going, but we don't know how we're going. We don't know how we're going to get there, right? He just said, some won't even sleep. Like some won't die. It's going to be, it may happen like now. But the point is, we don't know. Right? Just like my trip to Florida. I know where I'm headed. I'm going to Disney. But I don't know what's going to happen between Jersey and Florida. Not just Jersey, but the resort where I'm staying, right? So I have to follow my GPS that tells me to get on 95 South and drive. So, back to the word. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up by victory, or in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Listen, the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. The penalty of sin is death. But, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Does it sound familiar? Stay in your lane. And I'm almost done, so I'm going to interject right here. You don't have to be the pastor. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a singer, evangelist, deacon. But you have the word, the living word. No matter what you know out of that book, if all you know is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You pack that. You walk with that. Amen? Amen? If that's all you know, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, listen, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Move you from what? From following Jesus. Stay in your lane. Always give yourself fully. This is the word. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul says that because of the resurrection, we do what we do is not in vain. Nothing we do is in vain. Paul said one time that there are teachers and preachers who do it for other reasons. Y'all know it. Y'all see it. You don't know, but you got a mega preacher, maybe. Doing it for the money, but you don't know. But the point is, it doesn't matter as long as the word gets out. So I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the response you get. You're following Jesus. You stand in your lane. Along the way, you get an assignment. Along the way, you have to speak to somebody. Do it. It doesn't matter the results. Sometimes we hesitate because we haven't been getting the results we wanted. Sometimes we don't move because we don't see no reaction. But Jesus is saying that ultimately, if we can believe that Jesus had the ultimate victory, right? That's our authority. That's where our power comes from. If we can believe that, then we know we might not see the results. That's God's business. That's God's stuff. We might not see that, but it will have an eternal effect, right? An eternal result. So hold on. Stay in your lane. Follow Jesus. And understand, Jesus got Jesus stuff to do, right? That's God's stuff. Do the good you have opportunity to do in Jesus, knowing that it will have eternal results. Oh, man. One more thing. I want to give you this because I don't want you to miss it. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. Well, don't know. But I'll tell you anyway. inside. The secret to a changed life is submit to God. Listen and let Him work. Right? We can submit, but still try to figure it out ourselves. We can submit, still try to do some things ourselves. We can submit, but omit to do what He told us to do. Submit to God. Stay in your lane. Let God work. Follow Jesus. Amen. I'm going to give you this. Somebody write it down. Psalms 128:1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. Amen. Stay in your lane. Follow Jesus. Look, I trust Him. I know He's coming again. He's proven it to me. And see, that's the part that I didn't write about. That's the part that nobody else can tell you. He's going to prove Himself to you if you can stay in the lane. If you follow Jesus, He's going to prove that. That's what they call the testimony. Hallelujah. God, I'm sorry. I'm done. Let's stand. Look, if you can stay in your lane, if you can follow Jesus, it's a setup. I'm sorry. You'll be blessed along the way. He'll teach you along.